Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we are here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers every Monday through Friday at noon on the station WOKR. Today I have on the show not only a Rochester rock star, but I'm also going to preface a friend. Her name is Jennifer Sertl from Agility 3R. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I'm great. It's so great to be here, David.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm going to call you Jen because we go back, and that's what I call you, so I feel more comfortable. So, Jen, really excited to have you on the program today. I've known you. I'm really bad with time now that I'm in my 40s, but I'm going to say I've known you for, 12 to maybe 15 years. Does this sound about right?
Yeah, and yes, because I have children. I look at when I have my children, and then, oh, yeah, that was Dave. So, yeah, we're going on plus 15, my friend.
Wow, is that my God. See, I still feel like I'm 28, and that's a problem. You know, I see my and I say things. I'm 25. It's not that you look old and I get in trouble. So I just have to be careful, you know. So Jen, you are a Rochester institution. You've been doing coaching, consulting, influencing, impacting for many, many years. And you're very unique in your method. So first, I want to start out by just giving us your journey. Where did you start out your career, and how did you end up into your coaching practicing business?
That's great. Thanks for asking. And, you know, it's actually 18 years I've been self-employed using the coaching model that I use right now. And I think I have a mission, and the mission is that I want 100,000 new existential philosophy graduates. Because I began my career, I'm originally from Denver, Colorado, and I got a degree in existential philosophy. And I moved to Rochester in actually 1994, and I got my first job was as a phone rep at Frontier Corporation.
Hmm. A little different.
Yeah, well, this is back in the days where they were actually calling cards, and we were, you know, like, and we were long distance, and people in phone centers either did service or sales. They actually didn't have a sales quota. And then, you know, I the reason I wanted to start out with that is that I ended up a place I never would have imagined if someone told me when I was 19. But if I look back at my life and I look at all the pivots I made, all the choices I made, it makes perfect sense. So I've always been very deeply concerned about identity and belonging. And you can, you know, identity and belonging in a call center, identity and belonging in a family, you know, and so I will just say that I've always kind of followed a path that allowed me to dig deeper into how do people interact. And organizations are such amazing petri dishes around capital, social capital, and how do people behave. And I think people don't realize that it's mostly the maze. Like, I hate to say it in these terms, but I always say that it's the maze, not the rat. We design environments, and the environments shape behavior. And so I could go on and on and on, Dave, but as I just really want people to know that I've been deep in when I'm on Skype on my phone. are you hearing that, David, or not?
Oh yeah. We just lost you, but you're back.
Okay, cool. So I hope that people see that there's just a deep story around really caring about identity and belonging, and that's the perfect career for a coach and an organizational development specialist.
All right, so I'm going to dig deep because, you know, Jen, I am just a simple old-fashioned Italian guy here, and I have trouble saying the word existential. I get it right? I think I got it right.
You got it right.
I thank you very much. So and you are just so wonderfully deep and thoughtful, and I really need to concentrate when you start talking because I lose you. And so I think it's just like your intelligence is like completely overwashing my brain. And so break it down, like really just no complexity at all. Like you go into an organization and what are you doing to start out? What are you looking at? And how are you saying, okay, here is, if there is kind of a templated way, here's how I'm gonna stop the bleeding per se in this organization, and really help them from an existential level, bringing them to their next level of who they can be as a company.
Perfect. The best example will be a company that you and I both love and adore, which is OptiMax. Okay. So it would be like, what is a philosophy major doing inside of a manufacturing glass company, right?
Right. Optics and philosophy don't always go hand in hand.
Not hand in hand at all. So for those of you, OptiMax is one of the coolest companies in optics in the nation, who made a promise early on to actually be a prototype shop with a promise of 1 week optics. Now, the company, when I began working with them, had about 110 employees, and they were implementing lean, lean Kanban theory for the first time. And because Mike Mandina and Rick Plimpton are so forward thinking, they actually said to me, Jennifer, our team is not prepared to undergo lean manufacturing process, but that's where we want to head. And so I was lucky enough to work with them to design a lean leadership program. Now, what we did ultimately is say, okay, how do you want to compete? And they said, we want to compete on innovation, know-how, and velocity, right? So I said, cool. All we need to do is create a behavioral model that will exemplify what does know-how look like, what does innovation look like, and what does velocity look like? Because the idea is that a brand is made by micro promises that are made by people at the front line. And so if, in fact, we can create a clear promise to the market and then reverse engineer what are the choices that have to be made that enable us to be, you know, experts, know-how, be creative with innovation and expedite with velocity. Every choice inside an organization becomes a branding choice. Now, David, does that help? Does that sound more grounded?
That is a great start. So maybe you could just tell me in our audience. So what are some of the end results that, so you went into OptiMax, an optics company, and so they wanted, you know, lean, they wanted, you know, a lot of what you bring to the table. What were some of the tangible results that they can say, like, wow, we did this program with Jen, and I got to tell you, here's what happened.
Well, and I think this is the tricky thing, is that, you know, a conductor of an orchestra doesn't make any music. So a really good facilitator, no one really knows what's happening from a design perspective. The people feel like they're changing. And so by taking a group of 12 through a process, once, just 12 people, once a year, 12 people, another batch, I was invisible. It was, how did I facilitate conversations inside, and how did I help them claim the types of decisions that would lead them as an organization closer to what they wanted? You know, so I was more like a Jedi behind the scenes, allowing their voices to articulate the culture. See, many consultants come in and they want to be heroes. And I think the way I've always been very successful is that my work is almost invisible, and it's the people that are in the class become the heroes themselves. They're changing. You know, what's hard, I call it being a pollinator. Sometimes what's hard about being a pollinator is that it's really hard to make sure that you get proper credit, you know? So what I will say is that the belief system of the leaders was that we need to invest in our employees in order for us to grow. They said, in addition to having a system, we need to nourish and challenge mentally our people, because it's both mental choices plus really good systems that equal a successful lean company.
That sounds great. Hey, Jen, we're going to dig deeper. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. I'm here with Jennifer Sertle from Agility 3R.
Fox News' Tim Shalhoub takes on the news stories of the day with comedic insight. Weekdays 3 to 6 on WOKR.
Are you tired of paying high prices for TV channels you don't watch? Of course you are. You want to watch and pay for the channels you like. Now you can take back control of your TV with Dish's FlexPack. Get over 50 of America's favorite channels for just $39.99 per month, and then add the channel packs that you want. and your TV price won't go up for 2 years, guaranteed. Plus, when you call today, you'll get free standard installation in up to 6 rooms and a free HD DVR upgrade. Need more channels? Dish offers loaded channel lineups from $54.99 per month, featuring over 190 channels, and HBO is included for a full year. And for a limited time, Go Dish will give you a $100 prepaid Visa card when you sign up and mention offer code GIFT100. Call now, 800-518-8624, 800-518-8624, 800-518-8624.
Packages, prices, and promotions subject to change. Gift card courtesy of GoDish.com. Call for details.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou. Lou is one of you and will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou is like you. He's on meds too.
Call 800-298-0139, 800-298-0139, 800-298-0139. Again, that's 800-298-0139.
Something new in talk radio, 1310 WOKR.
We are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. I'm here with the wonderful Jennifer Sertle from Agility 3R. Jennifer is a consultant, coach, futurist. I like that on your LinkedIn profile. And doing some great things. Great thought leader in her space. A lot of consultants come to the world with maybe an MBA, a business degree. Well, Jennifer, you have a different type of degree. And for our listeners just tuning in, tell us a little bit more about what your college experience entailed.
Yeah, well, I think the quest on existential philosophy is a belief that the environment impacts behavior. So I don't want anybody to be overwhelmed by that. But when you study how does my behavior change in relation to different communities, it changes things a lot. I went to, from being a call center manager to being a staff development coordinator at Blue Cross Blue Shield. My street cred in terms of traditional career path was very clear. Where I feel that I got the greatest education was as a chair for Vistage. And anybody that's listening, there's Entrepreneurs Organization, there's YEA or YEO, which is Young Entrepreneurs Organization. There's also Women Presidents Organization, and there's Vistage. I believe that every leader should be in some sort of peer learning environment to find the one environment where you think that you can learn the most, just because I'm such a big believer. But I facilitating roundtables and working with 23 CEOs across 5 years, diving into business plans, learning about intangible assets in addition to how to read, the P&L are really kind of where I cut my teeth in business.
So you kind of got your MBA on the streets, we'll say.
Absolutely.
Yep,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think we need both. I think we do need formal education. I do expect to go back and get an MBA and focus on international business. That is on my bucket list. So I'm not saying that we don't need an education. I just think people that are in peer learning environments that are exposed to things outside of their environment will really do well. If there's anything I can claim as a statement, if everybody has 15 minutes of fame and they have one statement they want to rest their life on, my statement is your competitive advantage is the accuracy in which you scan your environment, how you interpret what you scan, and how you make decisions, period.
Interesting.
And yeah, so does that make sense? So your competitive advantage is how you scan your environment, how you interpret what you scan, and then how you make decisions. the challenge is that we live in a world so different, you and I. Like when I was at Frontier, we had to teach people how to surf the net. Like we had to learn how to surf the net. We had to teach people, like, what do you mean surf the net? It really wasn't something people did. It was like, right. There was nothing. It's like, what are you talking about? And so the challenge is that in this world that we have, we can customize a radio station with Pandora just for me. I can actually follow people that agree with what I believe in. I can actually customize my entire world relative to my belief system. Now, here's the challenge. Familiarity can be dangerous. If I'm in an environment where everything looks like, tastes like, smells like, sounds like what I love, then I may accidentally not get discernment. I might not see a change that I need to feel and see because I'm conditioned around a certain belief system. And so our ability to be in an environment that makes us a little uncomfortable and that has contrary evidence really will help us.
I like that. You know, it's funny. You're saying that you could customize your experience, and you do, and I do, and we all do. But also it's being customized for us, right? I mean, I open up the Google app on my phone to search for something. It's got a news feed that somehow it's all customized for me. It remembers what I searched for. It knows I'm from Rochester. It knows I like the Buffalo Bills. It knows that I like the Grateful Dead, and there's a new documentary on Netflix. I'm like, how does it know this? And it's just a customized news feed for me. So it's really you know, creating my own little world, right? Where, to your point, there's benefits to that, but there's also some disadvantages because is it making us so insular that we don't get a chance to get out of our world and see some crazy stuff out there, right?
Well, and that's just exactly right. So when I began being on Twitter, it was 2009. And I quickly, before the bots, right? Like I'm really irritated that the political system has made Twitter such an interesting place to go. Because by the way, before all of this, it was an incredible classroom. It was incredible. So in 2009, I said, you know what, this is a global platform. So I started collecting people and themes. So I put people in little folders. If they were from a different country, if they were working on scenario planning, I put them in a folder. If they were ecosystem and sustainability people, I put them in a different folder. If they were lean manufacturers, I put them, you know. So I have 110 folders. They're all public. When I do research for clients, I actually keep it private for them. But, you know, and the issue is that I started collecting. So when I love your point, David. You made such a brilliant point. You realize the algorithm is designing for your familiarity. And so I'm so lucky, and it's just an invitation. I have to go out of my way to get information from another point of view. And so I have people in different countries that I follow and learn from simply because I trust them. I don't trust the news. But I trust these people that I've built a relationship with in different places to say, what are you scanning? What does it look like from where you scan? You know, I'm not looking for an answer. I need to see what they're looking at. I'll make my own decisions, but I need to see what they're looking at. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think it needs to be an intentional process to say, you know what, I love my world, but I want to continue to instigate connections and activities that will challenge my world and let me peek outside my bubble. And, you know, and for me, it's been wonderful to do my weekly national podcast, my daily radio show, because I'm always asking people for their secrets of success. You know, what are your habits to help you be your best, you know, personally, health-wise, business-wise? And I started hearing things like, just what they're eating, what they're drinking, right? I started learning people doing yoga, people doing meditation. I just learned about grounding. Do you know what grounding is? You probably do. I never heard of it. But just the fact that the Earth's core is actually a battery. And if you are, the Indians did this a lot. If you, you know, would literally intentionally walk barefoot on the Earth so that they could be grounded. And it actually has a lot of health benefits. So I'm learning a ton, not trying everything. I think, you know, it's like a buffet. I'm like, oh, let me try this today. Let me try that. If you asked me 2 years ago, would I be drinking, you know, green tea every day or dandelion root tea? Or what is the tea I'm drinking today? I'm expanding turmeric. I'm drinking turmeric and ginger tea Who thought? Dave Bomano. I'm an espresso guy. Look at me.
I love it.
I'm meditating. I meditate, I would say, 5 times a week, 5 or 10 minutes every morning. And what for me, it's allowed me to learn from others and say, hey, let me take all the love and energy I have for the world, which frankly could be quite manic. And some of these things I've learned have helped me to, I'll say, focus my wattage in a more productive way. And the only way I do that is because I peek my head out of my bubble. And it just kind of happened for me, thankfully, through talking to all these people with my podcast and radio show. And that's the biggest benefit for me is I'm learning. So that's probably, I would say, I'm gonna throw this out there, but I have to say one of the major ways for someone to do what you're talking about is to be open to learning, being open to new ideas, opportunities, resources, people, and saying, you know, maybe I will try to find a way to, interject this into my life.
I love everything that you're saying. I can see the Dave Mamano crystal show. You know, again, I'm from Boulder, Colorado, so I'm ready for us to have the crystal conversation.
You know, David, 2.0 coming at you right here. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why I was so excited to be on your program and why I'm so excited to be your friend is that you are a learner and you're infectious in it. But a lot of people that are learners hoard information, and you're like an information evangelist, and you do everything you can to amplify and share what you're learning on your journey. So we're all, you know what I mean? Like, we're all better by knowing Dave Mamano because he's on a learning journey. And he's our, you know, you're learning out loud. And I love that about you, which is, you know, why we're friends.
You know, I love what you're saying, and I'm going to give you 10 more minutes to stop.
I love it.
That was a joke. No, but thank you. You just reminded me a lot of my friends and my wife. You know, when you tell a joke and then you have to say, like, no, that was a joke. And they say, well, if you have to say it, is it, you know?
I think having fun, the thing I need to do, because I'm pretty intense. I think people that will tell you spend time with Jen Sertl, you either need Kleenex or Tylenol. People are either crying or they get a headache. Yeah. But I think what I love is people that can also be impactful, but they can do so in a way that creates joy. Fun, you know, I don't think fun is even on the top 10 of adjectives people would actually say if they spend time with me. I don't think fun even makes the short list.
I would say intense. Absolutely. I mean, you're a deep person, you know, and that's probably why you were drawn towards philosophy. So, you talked about Optimax. So, you know, that they were very open-minded to what you were bringing to the table. And I have to say, Optimax is such a great company. I'm assuming that you know Bruce Peters pretty well.
Yeah, actually, Bruce is the reason that I actually became a Vistage chair. He brought the Vistage model to Rochester and has done an enormous, you know, like he's a really, Bruce is a catalyst. Yeah. And I caught his fire. But like, you know, any chef, two chefs can't serve in a kitchen.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
He's a beautiful chef, and he's got a great souffle, and, you know, and I also have a belief about how I do it, but I admire him and I respect him, and he's certainly part of my life journey for sure.
Well, the reason I brought him up is so I had breakfast with him yesterday. He's a good friend for many years now, and he's going to be on my show actually in a couple of days. So there's that, but also I know he's working with Optimax and had done some wonderful things as well. So kudos to Optimax to saying, hey, we don't know it all. Mike and Rick over there. Let's be open-minded and bring in some experts and grow and growing. Are they ever correct?
Yeah, they're at 360 employees now. And what I love is whenever I ask them about some things, they say, "Well, talk to so-and-so." 58 of the original 60 that I trained are still there and they're in leadership roles. And Mike and Rick are getting out of the way and letting the next generation run. And I think that people say, well, Jen, what industry do you work in? You know, I've been in manufacturing, I've done IT, I've done a lot of service-based businesses, I've done retail. I've always chosen, and I've always been hired by the CEO. You know, like it's like, I don't have, do I have a marketing strategy for any one industry? I have a marketing strategy for a leader. And the leader is someone that wants contrary evidence. And I hate to say, like, out of all these years, I even wrote Strategy, Leadership, and the Soul and have my own behavioral model, all that. But I'm still mostly using Good to Great and the idea of interrogating reality that Jim Collins brought forward. So yeah. the leaders that are interrogating reality are the ones that are going to hire someone like Bruce or someone like Jen Sertl to come in and really say, I trust I'm not getting the truth. Let's just assume I'm not getting the truth. How can I help my team get closer to the truth? And then we're off to the races.
Then do you do that by just asking really good questions that maybe they wouldn't think of because they're in their own woods every day?
Yeah, and I have to say it's an amazing thing. Like if we were actually on video, you'd see behind me is a lighthouse, and I use the lighthouse theory a lot. Is that a lot of people in their sales strategy have an acquisition strategy, and I want people to stand still and be a lighthouse. If you stand still and absolutely pulse a certain message in a certain way, it's going to be resonant. People are going to find you because of what you believe and wanting to be in your presence. You know what I mean? So it's not, anytime I've been hired, it's always been like an accident. Someone met me, they had a conversation. I wasn't trying to be clever. I wasn't trying to ask the provocative question. I just was being myself. And in my presence, that leader felt different. And in that difference, they ask a really good question. And from that question, the work began. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. So, Jen, on that note, we are going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Join Victor's own David Mamano weekdays noon to 1 for the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show on 1310 WOKR.
Find out how a surgeon-controlled robotic arm named Mako is changing hip and knee replacement surgery for the better. Orthopedic surgeon Dr. Robert Sherman from Upstate Orthopedics will discuss how Mako is allowing surgeons to replace knees and hips with optimal results and faster recovery times. Join Dr. Sherman on Monday, January 29th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Inn on the Lake in Canandaigua. To register, call 1-888-787-9537 or visit MeetMako, M-A-K-O, Canandaigua.com.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-660-9974 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-660-9974 to take your call now. Call 877-660-9974. That's 877-660-9974. Again, 877-660-9974.
Every day, 70,000 puppies or kittens are born in the U.S. Cute, right? What's not cute is that half of all litters are accidents, which leads to millions killed in shelters each year. Turns out, those little cuties can get pregnant sooner than you think. But here's the good news. You can stop the accident before it happens. When you bring home a pet, get them fixed at 4 months old. Prevent more. Fix at month four. Visit fixat4.com for more information. Brought to you by Best Friends Animal Society.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
We are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. I have a wonderful guest on the show today, Jennifer Sertl from Agility 3R. Jen is a thought leader, a coach, consultant, futurist, going into companies and working with people in really a very non-traditional way. Her major in college was existential philosophy. Did I say that correctly?
You did. You're an existentialist. You could actually change your business card. It's going to say Dave Mamano, existentialist.
I can say it.
It begins with the word.
I'm going to read a book about it. Absolutely. So Jen, we all have our superpowers. I do one or two things well, semi-well. And my job as a leader is to set up my system so that I can spend most of my time doing those one or two things and delegate everything else. And as my friend Darren Hardy says, don't abdicate, delegate, set up systems so that you can inspect what you expect. And I'm always striving to do that. If I'm doing something that's not in my superpowers, I'm asking myself, why am I doing this? And I try to get out of it as soon as possible. If you were to take a deep breath and say, you know what, Jen Sertl, this is my superpower, what would that be?
I have... it's difficult because I don't want pride to get in the way of the gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to graciously say that I have a gift. I've been granted the presence of, I can be with a person, help them articulate their identity in a way that they can also be a lighthouse. So I help individuals and companies identify their core promise and then design systems around that promise. And it's easy for me. It's something I have, and it's a different way of listening. And I can't tell you why. I just, given that gift, I just hope that I use it wisely. And I really choose to work with leaders that are making a difference. Like, you know, a lot of leaders, you know, a lot of people, well, the hard thing is, the reason I'm stuttering is that we have shareholder model that has leaders beholden to keep promises for shareholders. And sometimes the challenge that I find is that the ecosystem has different needs than the shareholders. And so I've been very conscientious to choose to work with leaders who have shareholders that care about the environment and their employees, that revenue per employee and employee development is part of that core. You know, because it's such a powerful gift, I want to make sure that I only put it in front of organizations and individuals that want to actually create sustainable, regenerative environments, you know.
Yeah, well, I remember, you know, years ago, and I'm going to say maybe 10 years ago now, we worked together, you coached me and I believe some people from my team.
Yes.
And, you know, you said two things that stuck with me still after all these years. The first thing was, so I had grown my, you know, I'm your manic, rustic, you know, bootstrapped entrepreneur. I'm the mad scientist that births the idea. And but I'm not the guy that is great at taking it from the toddler stage to the adult stage. I'm great from birth to toddler. And then I need to get a great, I'll say, you know, number two to that is more logistically operational, organized than me and bring it to the next level. And I didn't know that at the time when I was working with you. I had grown the company to about $3 million, and I thought we were doing great. We were an Inc. 5000 company 3 years in a row, Rochester Top 100. But you had talked to some of my team first. You were coaching them, and then you talked to me. And the first thing you said, and I got to give you credit for bringing it, you said, David, if you know you own 100% of the company, but if this was a public company, you would be removed now as the CEO. I was like, what? Whoa! Are you kidding me? And it's like, because the company was in chaos. We were like, you know, I kept on throwing new ideas, different ideas, moving different directions. I was driving everybody nuts, and I had stalled the growth of the company. And you know, I thought about that later. It was like a very enjoyable punch in the stomach that I needed to hear. And I was like, you know, she's right. I'm a guy that got it from zero to here. But someone else is going to be more talented to bring it from 3 million to 10 million. And probably a different person to bring it from 10 to 50, right? And it's very, very rare that, you know, the Tom Galassanos of the world from you know, 0 to 2 billion. There's always a few of those, but, you know, so I really always appreciated the fact that you were honest with me. And you were right. And you really made me think about, like, who else can I bring in to help me bring this company to the next level? The other thing you told me, which still sticks with me, was the term for my internal wattage. So, you know, you quickly caught on to my like crazy manic personality, and that, you know, I was the epitome of the entrepreneur that has a new idea every day and tried to implement it. And I was driving my team nuts. I was driving myself crazy, and we were all over the place. And, you know, you said, you brought to me, you said, David, you only have like, just like a light bulb, you only have so much wattage. And right now you're spraying it all over the place. And when it's gone, it's gone during the day. And you really made me think about like, all right, I have a limited amount of wattage. How much do I have and how am I going to use it? And what am I just going to turn off so that I'm not using my wattage in those areas? And I think about that today. How can I focus my wattage with surgical precision to do things that give me energy, I'm good at, and obviously create revenue for the company. So all these years later, thank you for that.
Well, given how hard it was to you know, you make that decision, how much truth can a person hold and still keep you in the relationship? So the fact that you actually invited me back on your show after I was that candid with you just means so much to me. And I really love you bringing up the wattage conversation, because I think the hardest part in a service-based industry is to realize that if, in fact, even if it's fabricated, if you design around 200 watts of brilliance to deploy once a month, and if you design an 18-month calendar, and then think about yourself as a pure gold, I have 200 watts of Jennifer Sirtle to give the world outside of my family and my own internal practices, right? If it's limited, the way I discern where to put that laser light energy, it just changes the whole game. And the reason I'm so delighted you brought that forward is I want anybody that's in a service-based industry to really look at creating finite blocks around how much work is reasonable. And there's one other thing that I did say, but I don't know if you remember, but the heroism masks design. Do you remember that statement?
I think I was so blown over by the first two that I was passed out by then. So, but please bring it again.
Okay. Okay. Well, so no. And it's, you know, and I love the it again thing is that like a rock on water, there are things that take me years and years to get conceptually, but then to actually change my behavior is one thing. So, you know, it's great. Heroism masks design is the framework that, if I'm building something that requires heroic effort, then the only way it exists is if I have time, attention, and will to put attention to it. So if a company is making promises and they want to get to scale, they really have to look at, are these things happening because we have really good systems? Or are these things happening because we have some people that are superheroes that might actually be injuring their own health and their own family life as a result of putting these things together, right? Is that if anything you want to grow, you want based on sustainability. And the theory of constraints would just say that you actually, instead of optimizing a weakness, you would actually build a buffer around it. So heroism masks design. I need to actually, David, I need to find a more succinct way to explain that concept. But I do feel that a lot of businesses are successful just because of superheroic effort. And the challenge is that type of effort is not sustainable, nor is it something you can build a brand promise around. You can only build brand promises around where you have you have designs that actually support and enhance the reliability factor.
Now, I hear you. And you know, we talk about good to great, and you know that point is in that book all over the place, that the only reason these companies went from good to great and continued to be great is because the leader, instead of making the company about himself or herself, created more leaders. And the company's success wasn't based on the charisma of the leader or the heroics of the leader. The company's success was based on all the other strategies, tactics, processes, brand promises that were, you know, the core values that were instilled in the company. So the leader steps aside and the company continues on and continues to do great, right?
Yeah, and I think what's so great about some of the companies that are creating scale is they're creating sub-teams where they're, you know, like I just think we're in an era where intimacy and small groups is the way to go. No matter, you can have a large company, but you just want to create small groups of, you know, you'll hear me with numbers all the time. I talk about the number 18. I talk about 12. And regardless of regardless of your religious heritage, you know, I think there's a reason why there were 12 disciples. I don't think it's a religious thing. I just think that 12 is a manageable number to create intimate connections, that create stories, that can create momentum.
There was a 13th disciple named Tony, but it was just too much for Jesus. He had to cut him loose.
All right. Our next book that we co-authored together would be, here's what happened to Tony.
Poor Saint Tony, you know?
No. And I, you know, just in respect of all faiths is I use the number 18 because in the number 18 means life. And that is why there are 18 holes on a golf course. There's there's a lunar eclipse around the world, somewhere in the world every 18 months. And I design my business practice an 18-month cycle simply because in the Jewish tradition, the number 18 means life. And so if we design with triads, you know, three strategies, we design teams around 12, and we think of ourselves in 18-month, you know, this and so like my final message, if there's any closing, is that it's the year 2018. I've been in business for 18 years, and I think it's going to be a year of prosperity for you, your entire ecosystem. And I'm really thrilled just to be able, you know, just to be able to continue doing what I love so very much.
Well, I am drinking your Kool-Aid. 18. I love it. And any reason for that, or it just is.
Yeah. I don't understand the design of the lunar. Like I just know that whoever was tracking it, you know, BC, there ended up being this number. And I'm not, that actually is ask Bruce Peters about 18 and why that means life in the Jewish heritage.
Interesting. What about 13? Do you know why 13 is supposedly unlucky?
Because it's more than 12.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, that's right. Saint Tony. Okay. Interesting.
I love it, David. This is, it's impossible not to be joyful around you because you're just like, I'm drinking coffee. It should be matcha, you know? I'm so like, you know, I remember a day when I was listening, and this is in the 90s, I heard Moby being interviewed saying, I see a day where McDonald's will have tofu. And I just like, I remember that interview. It was 97. And I love that song Porcelain. And I'm like, oh, Moby, so cool. This is great. And now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know what? I'm pretty sure McDonald's just started creating, everything's going to be on recycled goods. They're getting rid of their foam. And I, you know, like I just hear them, you know, moving towards, you know, tofu. I'm not really ready for cricket French fries, but you know, that might be on the horizon as well.
Well, I know. And maybe you could get them someplace else. Right. So, well, I mean, it's really incredible to think about how many things have changed in the past, I'll say 20 years. the whole world is becoming, you know, I think overall, even though you wouldn't believe it on social media because of all the polarism when it comes to politics, but I find the world to be a much more thoughtful place. And maybe it's just my ecosystem, as you say, but the people that I encounter, you know, they're just more thoughtful people, young people. I mean, I'm mentoring and coaching a 21 year old just because she is she's a sister of one of my friends, and you know, she just needs a little direction and help here and there. She's 21, and the things she is talking about at age 21, I am like, oh my God, I didn't even like begin to understand the tip of the iceberg of what she's talking about at age 21, you know? And I find that with younger people, there's so much more, I'll say there's so much more depth to them when it comes to people, the world, wellness in general, you know? And so it's, for me, it's very enlightening. It's very exciting. And so I choose not to believe that half the world hates the other half of the world, because I'm not seeing it. And maybe I'm creating my own special bubble, but I am friends with very conservative people. I am friends with very liberal people. I am friends with all different religions, all different colors. And I'm liking what I'm seeing overall, I have to say. How about you?
I believe that I love exactly what you're saying, because I think that unfortunately bad news is it cycles better and it's better for business. War is actually good for business.
Yeah.
Good stories. I think that this is what's so great about your program and what's so great about Steve Woisner's program as well is that, you know, we have to do a better job of amplifying and recirculating good news. It's our job to show the beacons and remind people that there's other stories too. They're not so sexy. They're not so, you know, they don't get as many clicks, but the stories are there. And we who do have platforms have to do just a great job putting energy in making sure that those stories are woven in with equal frequency. And so I think you make an extraordinary point.
We are going to bring sexy. How's that sound, Jen?
Good. Let's make, yes, generosity is the new, you know, that's a sexy, you know?
Yep. Let's bring it. We're bringing sexy in 2018.
Right. Amen. Justin Timberlake, bring him on. Let's get some dancing. Let's, you know, but we have to feel empowered and you do like, and I think if you follow New York Times, Christoph, it's just an amazing world globally. It's true. There's less poverty globally. There's more education globally. You know, I think we, and I love your point. I think first of all, I think our next generation has more at stake. And so they have to be more savvy. And I think just because they have more access to global issues and they're curious and we were, you know, curiosity is what allows us to transform. And people are like, aren't you worried about jobs of the future? Absolutely not. Because I know curiosity and passion always find a path, always.
I love that. I love that. Hey, Jen, we are going to end on that great note. Say it again. Curiosity always finds a path, right?
Curiosity and passion will always find a path. And so, you know, let's stop. That's it, man. Exclamation point, underline, bold.
Love it. Love it. Let's link to it. Absolutely. So we are out of time, unfortunately. That was very fast, Jen. Love talking to you folks. I've been here with Jennifer Sertl from Agility 3R. Jen, before we go, people want to get in touch with you. How do they find you and contact you?
Absolutely. I have to say, follow me on Twitter, Jennifer Sertl. Find me on LinkedIn. And, you know, those are the two best places. And I if you want to know what to read, you want to know, you know, like I'm always good ideas there. So thanks so much, David, for having me on your program.
Well, and thanks for your time. Totally appreciate it. Thank you for sharing your gifts with us. And I think we'll have you back at a certain date. What do you think?
Amen.
All right, let's do it. So, and I also want to thank all the Avanti listeners for listening to the show. Totally appreciate that. Last but not least, if you or someone you know would like to be considered to be on the show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com. And that is M-A-M-M-A-N-O. And please make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com. Make it a great day and stay awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.